Good afternoon and welcome to our Conversations That Matter podcast. We're grateful today to be once again on the campus of Belmont University. These podcasts are brought to you by the Institute for Innovative Faith-Based Leadership, which is something that I have the privilege and honor of directing here on campus. I'm Dr. John Roebuck, and today in our studio we have as a special guest Dr. Susan West. Dr. Susan West is Vice President and Chief of Staff here at Belmont University. Dr. West has been a part of the Belmont community, she told me a moment ago, for 29 years and has been specifically connected with Dr. Fisher and his work as president for the last 15, 17 years, something like that, ever since Dr. Fisher has been here. Things you want to know about Susan, I will tell you quite honestly, she is a good friend of mine and is a key leader here on the campus. If you really want to know the heart and soul of Belmont University, get to know Susan West. She is effervescent. She is always excited and pleasant and very dedicated to her life here and to the students and to making this place work. And so we would be lost without her. So now that I've kind of made your head swell, I don't know if your earphones will still work, but I do love Susan West, and I'm glad that she's volunteered some time today for us to talk about some questions and answers related to leadership. You might want to know about Susan that she is a graduate of Middle Tennessee with a Bachelor of Science, later did master's work at Western Kentucky, and most recently has her EDD degree from Vanderbilt, graduated with her doctorate there in 2005. And so she is well-degreed and is, as I said a moment ago, just a joy to be around, and we're glad that she's here on campus. So, Susan, give us just a little word of introduction about who you are, family, okay, and that kind of thing, then we'll get to some of these questions.
Well, thank you, John, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Of course, I love Belmont. I love students, and my tenure here has been extremely rewarding and enjoyable. I'm married to John West, who's a pastor, and I have two children who are graduates of Belmont. My daughter has a master's as well from Belmont, and she's teaching Spanish and directing a foreign language department. And my son recently graduated from Belmont, and he is at Tractor Supply and recently married in September. So, and the loves of my life are two.
Here we go.
There you go. My two granddaughters, they're twins, Michaela and Micaiah, who will turn five in about 6 weeks.
Wow. So, and I read somewhere that you call that your that you've had a Grammy Award.
That's
or something
right.
Like,
I'm a two-time award Grammy winner.
Yeah.
Because I've got two grandbabies.
What do they call you?
Grammy.
I have grandchildren as well, and I'm Papa John. So,
okay,
you know.
That works.
And my tribe is increasing even as we speak. So, passions, interests, what do you like to do?
A myriad of things, but two things that I love to do. One is travel, and certainly we have had the opportunity to do some of that. My husband and I, and of course when my kids were there, we've had the opportunity to travel. What's most unique about me that people don't realize until I tell them is I like to weightlift, and I've been doing that for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And never thought that I would even be able to lift weights, but I have a personal trainer, and I did cardio for about 4 years, and then we determined that we were going to switch up and do some weightlifting. So I do that about 2 to 3 days a week.
How about that?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Do you do that here on campus or your local gym,
mm-hmm,
or do you do it here?
I do that here on campus, and I have a student personal trainer.
Nice.
So I'm still here with the students and having the opportunity to interact with them, you know, in a different fashion.
Now, we're going to talk about that later. I need to hear a little bit more about that. But
yeah,
that's exciting. That's interesting. What we're doing with these podcasts, for those of you who have been listening to some of these, is we're talking to key leaders both on campus here at Belmont and some from the Nashville community who have risen to places of leadership, and I'm just kind of picking their brain about leadership questions and qualifications, that kind of thing. So a few questions we're going to kind of talk about today, and one of them is a question I want to begin with, and that is basically, Susan, what do you see are traits, habits, abilities that you think are essential in becoming an effective leader?
Well, there are many, and I try to just think about a few. Certainly, a leader needs to be approachable. I think they need emotional intelligence, which they need to be self-aware. They have to regulate themselves. They need to be motivated. And you mentioned I was effervescent, so, yeah, I'm motivated most
days. Which is
days.
A big word for me, by the way.
Great word. They need a sense of empathy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to let folks know that you've been where they are. and also, you know, social skills. Resilience is huge because you're going to have disappointments. You're going to have setbacks. You have to figure out how you're going to get yourself back up. Dust yourself off and keep moving.
So if you're looking at all those, and I said, all right, so tell me the one key characteristic. What do you think that is for
you? Well, I didn't mention the one key, but the one key characteristic is integrity.
Integrity.
Because with integrity, you know, that can be the catalyst by which all of these, you know, revolve. And so when you've got that, these other things, I believe, you know, fall into place for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, one of the key characteristics that I think is important, and it's close to integrity, it's that word authenticity, you know. And I see you as a very authentic, genuine person. You know, what you see is what you get. And
Pretty much.
I really appreciate about that in your leadership style is that the person that I would see in the boardroom is the same person I would see in the classroom, same person I would see in the gym lifting weights, right?
Right.
I think that's really important. So how did you get to that point? I mean, obviously, you're a recognized leader here on campus and have risen through the ranks and have become a vice president and chief of staff. So who in your life pointed you in that direction? Is there a mentor? Are there key people that you would say pointed you to leadership?
There are a few. And my grandmother was an informal leader for me. I mean, I can recall now things that she taught me, how she basically poured her life into us, wanted us to be good citizens, wanted to make sure we worked hard, that we had integrity.
Now, did she live with you?
She did not live with me, but she lived close. Okay. So I got to spend every afternoon after school with her.
Really?
And then I got to spend summers with her. Mm-hmm. I didn't do summer camp. Summer camp was at my Mama Cal's. That was her name. And so I sat at her feet and learned a lot when I was younger. Then as I moved up, as it pertains to school, I had several teachers who were role models.
Sure.
They were individuals who looked like me, and they were very instrumental in me, you know, making the determination to receive a higher education. My English teacher instilled within me the love of the English language, and as a result of that, I majored in undergrad in English and speech communications. And then in my professional career, Dr. Ruth Simmons, who is a former president of Brown University, just her story and how she got where she was or where she is was very intriguing to me. So I had the opportunity to kind of sit with her and just kind of pick her brain. And I mean, she came from humble beginnings. Her parents were sharecroppers. She always knew she could do it. Because her grandfather told her she could. So her story kind of resonated with mine as it pertains to knowing that you could do it.
So let's go off script for a minute and talk about the race and gender cards in your life.
Okay.
I mean, I would imagine that, I don't know, in terms of over the span of private universities and colleges across the country, how many African-American women have risen to vice presidency and chief of staff, which is just a remarkable thing for you. So obviously you've blown through some stereotypes. And what do you think it is about you that has allowed you to do that?
One thing I know is the favor of God, for sure.
Okay.
Secondly, just having the opportunity to establish relationships with people. And I think people are able to see that I am authentic, that I will work hard. I'm not afraid of work. My grandfather used to tell me hard work never killed anybody, so I knew I wouldn't die from it. So I always believed in working hard and basically volunteering for anything that came about so that I could learn about it. I've always been intrigued with learning. I was a former school teacher in the metro school system before getting into higher education. And so I'm always intrigued. Even now, I call myself a lifelong learner. I like to just learn things. And so I believe that I could do it. And I always tried to do a great job at what I did. And I think folks saw that. And they gave me opportunities to do more. Yeah.
Well, I think it's safe to say here at Belmont, you know, between presidential leadership and trustees as well, that there's been a lot of emphasis on diversity and gender equality and all of that through the years. And what some of you listeners may not know, I think we have five vice presidents, six.
We've got Seven.
And two of them are women.
That's right.
Yeah, which is interesting and important. And I'm sure we'll continue to think about how do we continue to strike even more of a balance than that.
Exactly.
So let's talk about your work day to day. Tell me what it is that you do and what you enjoy about what you do.
I enjoy most everything that I do. I think you're going to ask me on down the line what's the most difficult part of my job, and it's always the people management aspect. I am a people person. Sometimes I have to make tough decisions that involve, you know, personnel issues, et cetera, report to the president on the disposition of various situations or events, some pleasant, some not so pleasant. So my job, as I have a dual role, because I'm VP and I oversee the auxiliary enterprise, which is Sodexo, which is our food service provider, our bookstore, and also event services. I serve as the liaison with the athletics committee, the board athletics committee, serve as a liaison to the president with them, and also serve as liaison to the president with the AD. And then, of course, on my chief of staff side, just making sure to ensure that things are running smoothly. So I work with my colleagues. Usually, if there's any issues in their respective areas, sometimes we talk about it, and then of course I report that disposition to the president. If there's anything that I see that probably we should do, or that we probably need to discontinue, obviously letting him know that. Any high level executive type of responsibilities as it pertains to, you know, the president. In most instances, I'm involved in that. You know, report back to him. So I represent the president every day, pretty much all day long.
So obviously a lot of people report to you.
Right.
And a lot of people interact with you. And so one of the questions I wanted to ask is, how do you motivate the people who serve under you to do their best?
Well, first, the first thing I do with anyone is I want to get ensure that I get to know them, because I think being able to motivate people, they have to see authenticity in you, and they have to see, they have to have some of their life resonate with yours in most instances, no matter what it is. We can all start at some common place. I always try to emphasize strengths, John, when I'm talking to folks, when I'm giving them feedback as it pertains to what they're doing here at the university, what they're responsible for.
So you're emphasizing what they do well.
Yes,
their
I emphasize their strengths. And then, of course, work with them regularly on the things that may need improvement, serve as a mentor maybe for them. They may not report directly to me, but oftentimes folks do ask me to give them feedback.
Sure.
And so I try to work with them and give them some very concrete and realistic feedback. Say to folks a lot, because sometimes folks believe if they fail, they're failures. And they're not. It's a failure. And what happens in that regard, or what I try to work with them to ensure that they see, is that we can work, you know, failures are good because we can work beyond and above those failures. And the question is, what did we learn from it?
Sure.
And how will we apply it as we, you know, as we move forward? And then I also want folks to understand how important they are to the organization. So, you know, in keeping them motivated, I try to give an encouraging word to faculty, to staff, and to students as it pertains to their specific responsibilities and how integral those responsibilities are to the function of the organization.
So with all of those various lines of communication, let me ask just a question about, because I see a lot of leaders, especially upper-level leaders, that kind of struggle with this idea of how accessible they are and how do you set boundaries for when you can be contacted and when it's my private time and personal time, and how do you separate that?
Well, you know, someone said, you know, asked me that question several years ago, and basically said, how do you manage your time? Because I know it has to be hectic for you. Well, first of all, I'm a type A. I'd say I'm a recovering type A personality. So I like a list, and I like to check off lists. But in the position that I currently hold, my job is interruptions. That's what I do.
Yep.
I serve at the pleasure of the president. I serve at the pleasure of faculty, staff, and students. So if there is something that I need to get involved in, no matter what my list dictates at that particular time, then I have to switch over and do that. I try to schedule time, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, just to go introspectively.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can, I'm the type of person, I need to gain strength and I need to gain focus so that I'm able to help others do that.
So where do you find that place of refuge in your life?
There are two places. I love to walk and I love to visit parks.
Mm-hmm.
I like, there's something intriguing to me and relaxing to me about the water.
Yeah.
So I like to be around bodies of water. It doesn't matter what kind, just water. We have a creek in our backyard. Turkey Creek. And so I'm able to go back there and just that's where I get I have that solitude and I'm able to go to look intrinsically and just to commune with nature
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And that helps me. Also, I try to work with my assistant in ensuring that I do have some time during the week. I may not have it every day that but I do have some time during the week to actually do the desk work.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it's communications, whether it's meetings, large meetings or one-on-ones with students or with their parents or executing something that Dr. Fisher would need for me to execute.
Sure. I had a seminary professor, and in talking about trying to find refuge, he said that we should all learn to recess daily
mm-hmm.
and to relax weekly and to retreat monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my role as a senior pastor for the last 32 years, I always found that really hard. You know, the recess daily is easy to find 10 or 15 minutes and get away and even to have a day off. And you had to really, you know, guard that time. But to be able to be off for 2 or 3 days at a month just to get away was hard for me. And I'm sure it's hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you must treasure those moments. So let's talk about how do you continue to build personal leadership qualities and skill set? I mean, what do you do to continue to improve yourself as a leader?
I have colleagues all over the country. I was fortunate enough several years ago to attend the Harvard Institute for Educational Management. And the relationships that I built during that time, I still have some of those relationships, some of those colleagues. So we talk on a regular basis as it pertains to issues and concerns germane to our specific roles in the institutions that we serve. I also have been provided opportunities to attend some conferences, not very many, but the mm-hmm. ones that I have attended, Women in Higher Education of Tennessee, ACE, and others, I've been able to gain some professional advice, if you will, or some professional opportunities in that regard as well. And then also just basically reading leadership books. My area of concentration as it pertains to my dissertation was leadership in higher education administration, and it was the impact of presidential leadership on faculty professional practice. So that's my area, the area that I'm most intrigued with is leadership. And I'm always reading something as it pertains to leadership and as it pertains to great leaders.
Interesting. Maybe one or two kind of final questions. One
mm-hmm.
is, one of the things that is big in the life here of Belmont are core values and talking about what core values are. And just interested from your perspective, how do we best continue to communicate core values to the people we work with and kind of hold ourselves to those standards?
I think the best way, John, for me is to walk what I talk.
Okay.
To exemplify that just in a day-to-day and not even trying, just knowing what those core values are and then being able to, you know, to execute. So the best way is to communicate core values, in my opinion, is to lead by the example and try to demonstrate to those that I lead on a daily basis that I am committed to those core values, to the vision, the mm-hmm. values, and also the mission of the institution.
And I will tell anyone who's listening this that you're talking to somebody who is the real deal. She's not just telling you one thing and doing something else. So 29 years,
mm-hmm.
What if you look back over the span of that, what is the thing you're most proud of?
Wow, that's going to be a tough question because there's so many things that I'm proud of as it pertains to Belmont College, which it was when I came in 1988. And then in 91, we became Belmont University. Right. So there are things. But I am proud of Belmont for establishing herself as an institution of higher learning that believes in equipping students to a life of service. That's important work.
Yeah.
And we all have a part in it. And we just don't espouse it, but we actually do it. And that's what I would be most proud of. I'm also proud of Belmont as it pertains to diversity initiatives. Over the course of at least the last 16 years, we've made significant strides. We're able to see that. We're able to see those strides being made or experiences those strides being made on a daily basis. We are committed and we're intentional about diversity.
Yeah.
And I think that's what has helped us to be able to move the needle, not just talk about it. This is one of my mantras, John, not just talk about it, but be about it. And so I think Belmont has risen to the occasion there, and I'm proud of that particular accomplishment as well.
So what else, before we go, what else do we need to know about Susan West?
Well, just know that I'm fun-loving. I try to keep my perspective in check. I don't like to get ahead of myself. I don't believe the hype. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of try to keep myself below the radar screen and just enjoy life and live in the moment. I mean, I think it's extremely important to do that. That helps me to keep balance and helps me to keep focus. And I try not to take myself too seriously in most instances and use every occasion that I have to laugh because I know that's good for me.
Oh, yeah. And I will say this also to our audience. You know, sometimes you get to know the parent through the child. And I had an opportunity to get to know her son well. He was in a Bible study group that I led here on campus. And Jonathan, just one of the finest young men I've known. And that didn't happen by accident. I know that's a result of both of his parents loving him and nurturing him. And he would come in and he'd say, "I'm blessed and highly favored." And they had taught him well. So,
thank you.
So, Susan, we're grateful for you
and
grateful for your time today from a busy schedule. But more importantly, we're grateful that you're here at Belmont, and we wish you all success, and we hope it's another 29 years.
Well, thank you so
much. You'll be 39 when that happens.
I'll be 39. So, you know, I'll still have that energy and that drive and that determination to continue to move forward, for sure. Thank you so much, John, for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you, as an audience, for listening to our Conversations That Matter. We look forward to being with you again as we continue these dialogues with various leaders about what it is to be a good leader. Thanks again for listening.